So, look at your company's bank account. Now look at the massive AI software bill you just paid this quarter. Notice a gap.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody is noticing it right now.
Right, you are definitely not alone in that. There is this massive paradox right now in the business world that I honestly just cannot stop thinking about.
It's everywhere.
It is. Almost every company on Earth, across basically every industry, has adopted artificial intelligence in some way. But, like, if you look closely at the financials, almost nobody has anything to show for it.
Yeah, the returns just aren't there at all.
Exactly. And that is exactly what our mission is for this deep dive today. We are analyzing a stack of materials, specifically some really fascinating excerpts from a comprehensive guide on something called the AI Maturity Model.
It's a really crucial document.
It is. We are going to unpack exactly what separates the companies making real compounding returns from the ones who are just, running endless, incredibly expensive science experiments.
Right. Everyone bought the shovel, but nobody's finding any gold.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we can measure how good a company is at AI, we have to define what good actually means. And the first major insight here is that this gap between adoption and returns is absolutely not a technology problem.
No, not at all. And I mean, that is a fundamental misunderstanding a lot of leadership teams have right now.
Right, they blame the software.
Exactly. When the returns don't materialize, their first instinct is to assume, they need better algorithms or a more expensive enterprise subscription.
Like they just didn't buy the premium package.
Right. But the reality of the market right now is that the playing field is entirely level. The foundational AI tools, like the large language models, the cloud infrastructure, they're available to everyone
At the exact same
at
price.
the exact same price and from the exact same starting line.
So wait, a Fortune 500 company and like a 10-person startup are fundamentally logging into the same off-the-shelf subscriptions.
Precisely. So the dividing line isn't which fancy tools a company owns. The dividing line is entirely about execution.
It's how you use it.
Yeah, it's about the business mechanisms surrounding the technology.
Yeah.
How effectively an organization puts those tools to work is what actually determines the ROI.
Which brings us to a crucial distinction from the text. I found this incredibly helpful. It's the difference between two concepts that leadership teams constantly mix up: AI readiness and AI maturity.
Oh, yeah, they're totally different things.
Right. So AI readiness is essentially asking, are we prepared to begin? It's looking at foundational elements. Do we have executive buy-in? Is our data reasonably clean?
Do we have the basic cloud infrastructure in place?
Exactly. All that prep work. While AI maturity is asking, how far have you actually progressed once you started?
Right, because you could be highly ready. I mean, you can have the cleanest data lake in the world,
Yeah.
massive computing power, total support from the CEO,
And still fail.
and still be completely immature because you've never moved past isolated little pilot programs.
I was thinking about this like a gym analogy.
What?
Yeah, so readiness is like going out and buying the expensive running shoes, getting the moisture-wicking clothes, paying for the premium gym membership. You are 100% ready.
You got all the gear.
Right. But maturity is actually running the marathon.
Right.
You can be entirely ready to go and still have zero maturity if you never actually get off the couch.
That captures it perfectly. I mean, the shoes don't run the race for you. And what's fascinating here is that this entire concept of measuring maturity isn't actually new. No, it didn't start with artificial intelligence at all. It is a well-tested concept borrowed directly from software engineering.
Wait, like from back in the day.
Yeah, decades ago, Carnegie Mellon's Software Engineering Institute, the SEI, they developed the Capability Maturity Model.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, they built it to help organizations figure out why their software development was so chaotic and consistently over budget.
Because capability builds in predictable cumulative stages, right? Like you can't just mandate maturity from the top down.
Exactly. It builds in cumulative steps. You can't just flip a switch and become mature. Each stage depends heavily on the structural foundation of the one right before it.
You can't skip the basics.
Skipping ahead rarely works. If you try to jump to the finish line, say, by trying to automate your entire customer service department,
Oh, boy.
right, without building the intermediate infrastructure like data governance and employee training, the whole system just collapses under its own weight.
Which means we really need to break down what that climb actually looks like mechanically. If this builds in cumulative steps, how do companies actually progress?
Well, when you look at how organizations make this climb, it almost always happens in a generic four-stage progression.
Okay, let's go through them. Stage one is where almost everyone starts, right? Experimentation.
Yeah, experimentation is the Wild West. You have individual employees, or maybe just scattered teams, trying out AI tools completely on their own initiative.
So, like, someone in marketing is using ChatGPT to write copy. Someone in finance is using an AI macro in Excel.
Exactly. But there's no formal strategy, no formal funding.
And zero shared ownership.
And crucially, no centralized security or compliance oversight either.
Sounds risky. But the source text says the massive trap in stage one is a phenomenon known as pilot fatigue or pilot purgatory.
Oh, pilot purgatory is brutal.
What does that actually look like inside a company?
It basically looks like a lot of busy work with absolutely no financial payoff.
Yeah.
Organizations just get stuck here indefinitely.
Because they just keep testing things.
Yeah. They run pilot after pilot. They feel incredibly innovative. Everyone is marveling at these cool little AI demos in the quarterly all-hands meeting.
Right. Lots of applause.
But they never commit a real operational budget or name an actual owner to move it into production.
So it never touches the customer.
Never. A pilot that never gets deployed to actual customers or core workflows isn't a step toward maturity. It's just a repeating tech demo.
And staying in that purgatory has a massive cost of inaction, doesn't it? Like, it's not just that you aren't making money, you are actively burning resources.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got employees spending hours tweaking prompts for a pilot that will never go live, essentially burning through corporate budget.
While also creating massive shadow IT security risks.
Right, because everyone is using different tools without telling IT.
That is the hidden tax of stage one. You feel like you are innovating, but you are actually just accumulating technical debt and risk.
So what happens when leadership finally gets tired of these endless pilots and demands real implementation? That moves us into stage two, right? Active adoption.
Yes. This is where it gets slightly more serious. You finally get a dedicated budget.
Someone is actually accountable for the initiative now.
Exactly. The tools are being used consistently within specific departments, and it finally shows up as a distinct line item in the budget instead of being hidden under, like, general software spend.
But there is a massive trap in stage two as well, according to the guide, and it's that success stays entirely siloed.
Yes, the silo trap.
No, wait, I have to push back on this a little bit.
Yeah.
If a sales team gets real value from an AI-assisted workflow, but it doesn't spread to the rest of the company, why is that a trap? A win is a win, right? If they are making more money, isn't that a good thing for the business?
Well, it's fantastic for that specific sales team's quarterly numbers, sure, but it's a trap for the organization's overall maturity.
How so?
Let's think about this mechanically. If the sales team figures out a brilliant way to structure data and prompt an AI to generate leads, but there is no centralized mechanism to share what worked or why it worked, what happens to the marketing department?
I assume marketing has to go invent their own recipe.
Right. They are effectively forced to restart stage one completely from scratch.
Oh, I see.
Think of it like building a city's plumbing. If the sales team builds their own custom pipes to get water, and marketing builds theirs out of entirely different materials.
And HR builds theirs with different pressure valves.
Exactly. When you finally try to connect all of them to the city's main water supply later on, the pipes burst. None of it is compatible.
Wow. That is a great way to look at it. The organization itself isn't maturing at all. Just one isolated pocket is.
Yeah. Without a shared process for capturing and repeating success, you don't have corporate AI maturity. You just have a really efficient sales team and a bunch of incompatible pipes.
And untangling those incompatible pipes later probably costs millions.
Oh, easily. Which leads right into the necessity of stage three, scaling.
Okay. So this is where you finally cross those department lines. Data infrastructure and governance get formalized.
Finally.
Leadership stops treating AI like a side project owned by whoever got there first and starts treating it as a strategic priority with an actual roadmap.
And stage three is usually the tipping point where companies realize they can't just rely on those off-the-shelf subscriptions anymore.
Because they outgrown them.
Yeah, generic tools are great for individuals, but a scaled program usually outgrows them fast. This is where companies start hiring custom AI development services to build internal tooling.
Stuff that integrates directly into their specific proprietary systems.
Exactly.
So if stage three is about breaking down department walls and formalizing the infrastructure, I'm guessing stage four is where AI just disappears into the background of the company's daily operations.
That is the holy grail. Stage four is transformation.
Transformation.
AI is no longer bolted onto existing processes. It is fundamentally embedded in how the company actually operates and competes in the market.
So governance is strong. optimization is continuous. And a key detail here from the text, AI literacy runs through the organization at every level.
Right, not just among a few tech specialists in the IT department.
But it's very clear from the data that this stage is incredibly rare.
Extremely rare. Most of the market, including incredibly well-resourced global enterprises, are still stuck untangling the plumbing in stages 1 and 2.
Unbelievable. So that's the general 4-stage climb. But if that's the general path, different industries actually use entirely different rulers to measure their specific climb.
Oh, yeah. There isn't just one universal maturity model out there.
Right. There's a whole menu of them. Let's look at the different frameworks, because this is where companies have to essentially choose their fighter.
Yeah. Published frameworks differ wildly on exact stage counts and naming conventions. But no single model is inherently wrong.
They just have completely different audiences.
Exactly. They solve different business problems.
I want to walk through these major ones, but I have to ask first. If everyone is basically buying the same off-the-shelf AI tools at the starting line, isn't having models ranging from 4 simple stages all the way up to 8 complex dimensions, just, you know, consulting noise?
Right.
Are we overcomplicating something that is fundamentally just software adoption?
This raises an important question, and it is a totally valid skepticism. But you have to consider the operational context.
Context, yeah.
A 10-person startup running their very first AI pilot to write marketing copy is facing a fundamentally different set of problems than a regulated global bank trying to scale AI across a dozen different business units.
That makes sense.
The startup doesn't need to worry about complex vendor risk, multi-departmental data governance, or regulatory compliance in the same way, so they shouldn't be judged by the same framework.
Context matters. You wouldn't use a ruler to measure a highway.
Exactly.
So let's look at the heavy hitters. If you are listening to this right now and you sit in the finance department, your go-to is going to be the MIT CISR Enterprise AI Maturity Model.
That's a big one.
4 stages. And this one is fascinating because it is entirely tied to the CFO's favorite metric, financial performance.
Yes. Published recently, MIT grounded this model in hard data from 721 companies.
It's a huge sample size.
It is. And what makes it so distinct is that it doesn't just describe technical sophistication. They actually proved a correlation to the bottom line.
Wow.
Organizations in the bottom 2 stages performed below their industry average financially.
Which proves the point about stage 1 being a massive drain on resources.
Exactly. And those in the top 2 stages performed above their industry average.
But the reality check here from the report is that only 7% of those 721 surveyed companies had actually reached that top future-ready stage.
Just 7%.
Roughly a third were sitting right in that stage 2 bucket, just building those siloed pilots.
Yeah. So if your audience is a CFO or a board of directors and they demand that maturity be tied to revenue, margin, or peer growth, MIT is the framework you put on the slide deck.
But what if you aren't the CFO? Like, MIT's model is great for the boardroom, but if you are the CIO who actually has to build the infrastructure, MIT's model is probably a bit too broad.
Right. It doesn't give you the technical steps.
Exactly. That is where Gartner's AI maturity model steps in. 5 stages here, moving from awareness all the way up to transformational.
Gartner's model is squarely aimed at enterprise IT leadership. If your company already uses Gartner's ecosystem for your yearly IT planning cycles,
which a lot do.
Right. This plugs right into that roadmap perfectly. It gives IT leaders the specific technological benchmarks they need to actually request budget for the next phase.
But let's say you are on the engineering side. You don't just need budget. You need to know how to build it safely. That brings us to the newest framework in the text. And this one has serious teeth.
Oh, yeah.
The SEI and Accenture AI Adoption Maturity Model. Released in June 2026.
This one is massive. Carnegie Mellon's Software Engineering Institute and Accenture teamed up because they saw a huge gap in how companies were scaling.
What did they look at?
They reviewed over 100 existing AI maturity efforts, interviewed dozens of executives, and surveyed nearly 600 actual practitioners.
And they didn't just use 4 simple stages, right? They built out 8 specific dimensions.
8 dimensions, yes. Strategy, workflow, workforce, risk, data, engineering, operations, and ecosystem.
It is heavily emphasized toward engineering rigor. Can we pick a couple of these dimensions and explore why they matter so much? Take data, for example.
The data dimension is a perfect example of why scaling fails. Let's say you skip maturing your data infrastructure and jump straight to deploying a pricing AI.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It is. If your data dimension isn't mature, your systems might be feeding that AI outdated pricing tables from, like, 2023.
Oh, no.
The model doesn't know it's wrong, It just confidently hallucinates a massive discount for your customers, and you lose millions before anyone even catches the error.
Wow. So the SEI model forces you to prove your data pipeline is mature before you deploy the model.
Exactly.
And what about the ecosystem dimension? What does that cover?
Ecosystem evaluates how you interact with third-party vendors.
Right.
Like if you rely entirely on one external AI provider and they change their API pricing overnight.
Or they suffer a massive data breach.
Right. Your entire company just grinds to a halt. Maturing your ecosystem means building redundancy and vendor risk management into your actual code.
The framing around their June 2026 launch was incredibly blunt, too. The SEI reported that despite skyrocketing investment in AI, the vast majority of organizations are seeing absolutely zero measurable returns so far.
Yeah, they didn't sugarcoat it.
Not at all. This model is built for the engineering, risk, and platform teams who are being asked to sign off on scaling and who need a rigorous checklist to prevent catastrophe.
And then we have a framework designed purely for the defense side of the house.
Oh.
OWASP. Alabaspi? The AI Maturity Assessment, or AI?
Okay, what's their angle?
5 domains. It is free, open source, and heavily weighted towards security, privacy, and governance.
So if you are a compliance officer or a chief information security officer, this is your holy grail.
Absolutely. Given OWASP's deep roots in cybersecurity, they look at AI maturity through the lens of threat vectors.
Like what?
Like, are your employees pasting sensitive customer data into public chatbots?
Thanks.
Right? Or how are you auditing the bias in your hiring algorithms?
Yeah.
If your biggest maturity questions are coming from legal or security, OWASP is the framework to reach for.
And finally, the text briefly mentions Microsoft's 4-stage model, which focuses heavily on the cultural foundations of adoption.
Yeah, how comfortable your employees actually feel using the tools day to day.
Right. But the overarching point here is that we have these distinct models, and we know the financial stakes, especially from that MIT data showing top stages outperforming peers.
We know it's on the line.
But that brings us to the ultimate reality check for you listening right now. How do leadership teams actually figure out where their company sits on these models?
You'd think they would just ask around. But when leadership teams guess their own maturity, they are almost always wildly incorrect.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The gap between investment and returns is widening precisely because companies think they are in stage 3 when mechanically they are stuck in stage 1.
Delusions of grandeur.
If you get a leadership team in an informal meeting and ask them to judge their own AI maturity, self-reported answers skew heavily toward extreme optimism.
I mean, guessing your AI maturity in a boardroom is exactly like asking a teenager if their room is clean without actually opening the door.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Right. Of course they are going to give you the most optimistic answer possible. Yeah, it's totally clean. I'm fully AI mature. Meanwhile, you open the door and there are dirty plates under the bed and laundry everywhere.
That is the perfect way to visualize it. The leadership team only sees the shiny pilot demo. They don't see the shadow IT laundry under the bed.
Exactly.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, knowing your actual stage is the first and honestly the only honest step toward closing that massive gap between what you are spending on AI and what you are getting back.
You can't chart a course without knowing where you are.
You simply cannot manage a rigorous climb if you don't have an objective map of where you are starting.
And that requires a structured assessment. It forces an organization to score the unglamorous parts of the business that never come up in casual chats.
The boring stuff.
The boring but essential stuff. You have to actually evaluate the dimensions. We are talking about things like strategy alignment. Are these AI initiatives actually connected to business goals, or are they just random disjointed experiments?
You have to score your data infrastructure. Is it clean and governed to support scale? Or is it just a mess of incompatible spreadsheets?
Right. You have to look at talent and skills. Does the wider team actually have the literacy to maintain this technology safely?
And governance. Are there real, enforceable policies for risk and ethics? Or just informal habits that would instantly fail a regulatory audit?
And finally, the technology stack itself. Is it built to scale securely, or was it just thrown together ad hoc by a motivated sales team?
But doing that audit internally is incredibly difficult.
It is hard to grade your own homework.
Exactly.
But there is a really practical solution mentioned here. If you want to bypass the boardroom guesswork and get a real look inside the teenager's room, Thescopic offers a free AI assessment.
That's incredibly useful.
Yeah, it takes about 5 minutes, there is no sign-up required, and it gives you an objective maturity score. It benchmarks you against your industry peers and hands you a personalized roadmap for what to actually prioritize next.
Having an external objective baseline like that is invaluable. As we've established today, you cannot skip stages.
No shortcuts.
You need to know exactly where the cracks in your foundation are before you try to build the next floor.
So, what does this all mean? Let's bring it all together. The core journey we've unpacked today is that AI maturity has almost nothing to do with buying the right tools.
The tools are a commodity.
Exactly. Real maturity is the ruling, deliberate, mechanical climb from scattered, siloed experiments all the way up to cross-department scaling and transformation. And you absolutely cannot manage that climb without an objective map of where you stand.
That is the essence of the challenge. But as we wrap up, looking at all this source material, I want to leave you with a final thought to really mull over.
Okay, let's hear it.
We've established that the AI tools themselves are available to everyone at the exact same price and starting line.
Right.
We've also established that the entire original concept of the maturity model was borrowed from 1980s software engineering. If the technology itself is universal and identical across competitors, and the only things actually separating success from failure are strategy, data governance, operational alignment, and shared ownership.
Okay.
Is AI maturity actually a myth?
Wait, what do you mean?
Think about it. The technology is just the newest variable. Is what we are calling AI maturity really just traditional old school business management maturity wearing a fancy new technological mask?
Wow. I mean, if a company couldn't manage basic data or align departments before AI, adding a neural network isn't going to fix them.
Exactly.
But if you can manage a business with rigorous discipline, you can manage AI. I love that perspective. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep asking the tough questions, keep looking past the hype, and we will catch you next time.